And this is your life. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling to wake up fresh with no cigarette hangover.
Oh, for Philip Morris.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight marks another presentation of a distinguished series of radio broadcasts. As Philip Morris cigarettes bring to the American audience, This Is Your Life, starring Ralph Edwards.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Coming on our Philip Morris stage, Studio D, NBC, this Wednesday night, is one of America's most famous and truly beloved entertainers, and I'd like to introduce him to you now. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Edgar Bergen. And here he is. Oh, Edgar, how are you this evening?
Oh, I'm fine, Ralph, and I'm really looking forward to your program tonight.
Well, now, before you get too excited about Edgar Bergen's appearance, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know Edgar Bergen is not the principal subject on This Is Your Life tonight. I hate to disappoint you all, but he really is.
Well, it may be a good thing. I'm afraid my life would make pretty dull listening.
Well, I could argue with you with that, Edgar. We do know why you're here tonight, though. You're here to take part in the life story of a very good friend of yours.
Well, our paths have crossed, you're right.
Crossed and double-crossed because our principal subject on This Is Your Life tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is that man about town, that bon vivant of two continents, that Don Juan of stage, screen, and radio, and Mr. Bergen's business associate, Charlie McCarthy. Well, they're happy about that, Edgar.
Well, he's certainly going to be surprised, Ralph.
Charlie doesn't know about it, does he, Edgar?
Not a thing. I simply told Charlie that as a reward for being a good boy, I'd get away with that
stuff. Yes.
I was bringing him down to the studio drugstore to have a banana split with Skinny Dugan and Skyler Vance North.
Good.
Charlie loves banana splits.
Yeah, I know. All right, Edgar, then bring on Charlie McCarthy.
Wait now, a second and I'll get it.
All right, now don't anyone give the surprise away. Charlie doesn't know about this, you see. So don't anyone tell. Well, what if. Look, you here.
Oh, well.
Yes, it's Charlie McCarthy. Oh, me.
Oh, hello, my. Bergen. Say, I thought you'd forgotten about me, Bergen.
Well.
Where's that banana split you promised me?
All right, all right.
Who are all these people out here? What's the matter, Bergen? Is it a broadcast tonight?
No, 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 not tonight, no, Charlie. No, this isn't our regular show. You see, this is Wednesday.
Yeah, I know, but who are the peasants out there?
Well, Charlie,
Bergen, where are we?
Well, you see, we're in Studio D at NBC.
NBC? Bergen, you Benedict Arnold, you.
Charlie, how are you tonight?
Oh, hello. Hello. Who is this joker?
No. That's Mr. Ralph Edwards, and he has a program called This Is Your Life, sponsored by Philip Morris.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Where's that banana split you promised me?
Charlie, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. By the way, I wish you'd call me Ralph, Charlie.
Okay, Ralph? Friendly cuss, isn't he?
Charlie, it's your life story that's going to be revealed. All the facts from your birth right up to the present time.
Yeah. My life?
Yes.
You mean little old Charlie McCarthy?
Yes, Charlie.
Not Bergen's
no,
life?
No, Charlie.
You mean it's really on the up and up?
Yes. Yes, it is, Charlie. Tonight, we're going to reveal all the details of your life.
Are you sure you can handle it, Mr. Edwards?
Well, we'll...
you know, they burned my diary in Boston, you know. It's a nasty mess.
Now, Charlie, it's a great honor being paid you.
Bergen, are you sure that we're not being taken?
No.
Charlie, really, this is for real. Now, will you please sit right here in our chair of surprises, huh?
Darned if he isn't serious, Bergen.
Are you comfortable, Charlie?
Yes, thank you. Yes.
You want a little water over here?
No, not now. Thank you.
Well, just relax and enjoy yourself, huh?
Yes, sir. Yes. Am I close enough to the mic?
Yes, I think I'll put the mic right over there.
You're not going to leave me, Bergen?
No, I won't leave you. No. I'll be right.
I feel silly.
This is your life, Charlie McCarthy. Charlie McCarthy, born 1919, when your good friend Edgar Bergen is a 16-year-old student at Lakeview High School, Chicago.
Ralph, whoa. I thought you said you had the facts.
Well, what do you mean, Charlie?
Bergen, he says I was born when you were 16.
What about it, Charlie?
I couldn't be that old.
No. But you are, Charlie.
Nobody could be that old.
Ralph Edwards has the facts, Charlie.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, he has he? Yeah. Then he can tell me something I've always wanted to know. Ralph, just how was I born?
Well, Charlie, to be blunt about it...
Yeah?
Hold on, Ralph. Do you mind if I tell Charlie about
all
how
right,
he
Edgar,
was
maybe
born?
Maybe you'd better, yes.
Yeah. Charlie, this is a rather delicate matter.
Yes.
I remember very well... I don't exactly quite know how to tell you about this. But, of course, everything, Charlie, has to have a beginning.
Yes.
As flowers grow from just little seeds.
Yes.
And from the little eggs, we get birds, we get chickens.
Yeah. You've told me all that before, Bergen, but how was I born?
Edgar, perhaps you'd rather if I explain.
No, yes.
Charlie, I guess you could almost say you came out of Mr. Bergen's mind.
Gad, you mean I was born an orphan?
No.
You could almost say, Edgar, that Charlie really made his first appearance in your medieval history book. Isn't that right?
Yes, Charlie, yes. You first appeared in my medieval history book.
You mean Charlemagne McCarthy?
No.
It's 1922, and in the classroom at Lakeview High School, a boy with a thick shock of hair sits at a desk. And while the rest of the class is studying, he is idly sketching a picture in a medieval history book.
Was that me?
No, Charlie, that was Mr. Bergen.
Oh, that shock of hair threw me.
He was drawing a picture of you in his history book.
You mean, Bergen, you knew what I was going to look like before I was born?
Well, yes, Charlie, yes.
You were going to look like a red-headed newsboy who sold papers on a corner near Lakeview High School.
Do I look like him, Bergen?
Yes, Charlie, almost exactly.
Well, was he my father, Bergen?
Well, what would you say? You see, Charlie, it's... Everything must have a beginning.
Here we go back to the birds and bees again.
I think what Mr. Bergen's trying to say, Charlie, is that he went to a friend of his named Theodore Mack. He was a bartender and an expert carver, or sculptor, you might say. And Mr. Bergen had him make what you might call a statue of you.
Mm. You mean before I was born? You did, Aunt Bergen?
Yes.
Did it look like me?
Exactly.
Gee. Well, then, was Mr. Mack my father?
Well, no. You were named in his honor. From Mack, your name came, McCarthy.
It's very interesting, don't you think so? But how was I born?
Well, it's just like I told you.
Oh, I see.
In 1922, your friend Edgar Bergen is in his last term at Lakeview High. And Charlie McCarthy, you're 12 years old.
I was born in 1919.
Yes, Charlie.
What high school did you go to?
Your friend, young Bergen, is flunking in medieval history, and his history teacher, Miss Angel, tells him not to buy his cap and gown because he isn't going to graduate. The next day, you and he do an act in assembly. Charlie was such a success that your history teacher passes you and you graduate from high school.
That's right. That's the fact. Yes.
Bergen, what would you have ever done without me?
Charlie, after graduation, you join the Travers and Newsom Chautauqua, traveling through South Dakota and Nebraska. Fall of 1922, Charlie, and you and Edgar make a tour as part of the Abbott Lyceum course. Spring 1923, Charlie, and you're 12 years old. You and your friend, Edgar Bergen, join the famous Red Path Chautauqua, starting your tour in April and ending it in August.
Yes, Ralph. We traveled a big circuit starting in Columbus, Georgia, through the South, and winding up in Michigan.
Well, congratulations, Bergen. I didn't know you could throw your voice that far.
That's not Edgar Bergen, Charlie. That voice comes from backstage. It's a lady who was in an act in that very same Red Path Chautauqua with you and Edgar Bergen 27 years ago.
Yeah?
Her name was
Isla Ulrich.
Isla Ulrich?
Yes, and here she is, coming through the Philip Morris Archway, flown here on a TWA Transworld Airlines Constellation from Chicago, your companion of Chautauqua days, who was Isla Ulrich and who now is Mrs. Isla Ulrich Hope. And here she is.
That wonderful.
Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Isla.
Hello, Isla.
Oh, boy.
Isla, you look wonderful. Doesn't she, Bergen?
Yes, she does, Charlie. In all those years, you haven't changed a bit. Not an iota. You look exactly like you did 27 years ago. Same old Isla.
Same old malarkey, yeah.
Mrs. Hope, will you please tell us something about the Chautauqua tour on which you, Charlie, and Edgar performed?
Well, yes, Ralph. We played in tents.
Yeah.
Each tent had three shows a day. Charlie and Edgar were in the morning show for the children, and I was in the evening show.
We used to spend a lot of time watching you, Isla.
Oh, those Red Pass Chautauqua days were loads of fun, Charlie.
Yeah.
It's good to see you and Edgar again after all these years.
Well, thank you, Isla.
Thank you, Isla. And we'll see you at the big party at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel in my honor.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yes. All my out-of-town friends are going to have accommodations there. You see, I've seen this show before.
Yes,
I'm going to get to loot. When do we get to loot? What?
Never mind.
Could I have a banana split at least? All right.
Thank you, Isla Ulrich. Thank you very much for coming here tonight. Little did you or your friend Edgar Bergen know that from such humble beginnings you were to rise to become one of the giant figures in the entertainment field, presenting on your own radio program the cream of guest stars from the world of radio, theater, and the motion pictures.
Sure, and I was a guest star myself once on Charlie McCarthy's program.
Bigore and the jabers. It's Maureen O'Sullivan, isn't it?
Yeah, right, Charlie. Miss O'Sullivan was one of the motion picture stars your program brought into the American home as a guest.
That's
and
right.
Here she is, coming through the Philip Morris Archway. Maureen O'Sullivan!
Charlie.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Edgar.
Hello, Maureen. It's wonderful to see you again.
It's sure, and that it is, Maureen. Say, Ralph, how is me Irish accent?
Yeah, it sounds good to me, Charlie.
Yeah, of course, I work under a little handicap, you know.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I get a little Swedish tinge in it. I never know whether Bergen will sound like Blarney or Smorgasbord.
When Maureen O'Sullivan appeared on your program, Charlie, you and she discussed the fact that you're both Irish.
Yes. Charlie, is it true that you really came from Ireland?
Oh, that it is, that it is.
Dublin?
Well, right now I'm between This Is Your Life and my regular program.
Well, when you came into Charlie's life, Maureen, you were starring in those wonderful jungle pictures with Tarzan yelling all over the screen.
Yeah, well, with Maureen around, Tarzan had something to yell about.
Makes me homesick.
I'll bet it does, Maureen.
Well, that's kind of you to say that, Charlie. I want you to know you've always been a favorite of mine. And I'm happy that in a little way, I played a part in your life. Good night, Charlie.
Good night, Makushla.
Good night, Ralph.
Good night, Maureen. Good night, Maureen O'Sullivan. Thank you for appearing in the life of Charlie McCarthy back here in 1939. And the best of luck to you in the picture you're now making for RKO, A White Rose for Julie. Well, there are many more exciting years to cover in your very colorful life, and we'll come to them in a moment. But first...
Commercial.
You've been in radio.
I
want to tell you about an interesting experience I had the other day. Well, this is serious, friends. Before a broadcast, I stood on the world-famous corner of Hollywood and Vine, sort of watching the crowd go by and looking for someone not a Philip Morris smoker. Well, in a little while, I noticed a charming lady who had stopped to light up a cigarette. And I noticed that the cigarette she was lighting was not a Philip Morris. That was the gal I was looking for. So I approached the lady and, well, let's listen.
Hello, how are you?
I'm just fine.
Nice having you here at our microphone. What is your name, please?
Mrs. Stanley Peterson.
Where are you from, Miss Peterson?
From Minot, North Dakota.
Have we ever met before?
No.
Or any other person connected with the Philip Morris Company?
No, I haven't.
Well, Miss Peterson, your words will be heard by millions of radio listeners, and I just want to establish that anything you may say is entirely your own words, your own opinion. Okay?
Yes.
All right. Now, Miss Peterson, I notice you're not a Philip Morris smoker.
No, I'm not.
All right. Would you mind trying a very simple test?
No, I wouldn't.
All right. Now, here's all you do. First, light up a Philip Morris. Here you are. I'll help you light it. Now, don't inhale, Miss Peterson. Just take a puff and slowly let the smoke come through your nose. Get a good puff and let it come through your nose. That's it. Okay. Now, I want you to try exactly the same thing with one of your own cigarettes. I notice it's also one of the leading brands. Will you do that? Now, take a good puff. Don't inhale. Slowly let the smoke come through your nose. That's it. Now, you tried the test with Philip Morris and with your own brand. Now, tell me frankly, and remember, I want your honest reaction. Did you notice any difference between the two cigarettes?
Yes, I did.
Please tell me in your own words, what difference did you notice?
Well, there's quite a difference, and I never realized it before. But this Philip Morris is much milder.
You're just discovering that?
Yes, I am.
Well, we're happy you have discovered it. What about your own brand, then, do you say?
I'd say it was a burning sensation.
Stronger?
Yes.
Philip Morris was milder than your own brand?
Yes, it was.
Okay. What's that?
Much milder.
Is it fair to ask you on the basis of this test whether you would change to Philip Morris?
I believe I would.
Oh, it's an actual test on an actual smoker, completely unrehearsed. Isn't that right, Mrs. Peterson?
Thanks, Ralph. Yes, friends, you've heard an actual test performed with an actual smoker, and that's the test no other cigarette would dare suggest. Every smoker in America should try this famous nose test. Try it in your own home right now, if possible, but certainly try it. Remember, Philip Morris, and only Philip Morris, is proved definitely less irritating, therefore more enjoyable than any other leading brand. Yes, like millions of other smokers, you too will prove to yourself that there's no cigarette hangover when you smoke Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. Now back to This Is Your Life and Ralph Edwards as he helps recreate the life of one of America's best loved personalities, Charlie McCarthy.
Charlie, you all set now to go?
Yeah, yes, I'm ready to go.
Thank you, John Holbrook. Yes, let her rip. Here we go. It's the fall of 1923. Charlie McCarthy and your associate Edgar Bergen enter Northwestern University.
Yeah, Howard Street, Dempster Road, yeah. Evanston Lighthouse.
Evanston Lighthouse. Edgar at first intends to be a doctor, so he takes a pre-med course. Mm. At first, none of the fraternity seem to be interested in freshman Bergen. Then one day, Charlie, listen, you give a performance on the campus, and the next day, four fraternities rush Edgar, and he winds up as a member of Delta Upsilon. Edgar Bergen becomes a DU.
That's right, and if it hadn't been for me, he would have just been PU.
No, no. Charlie, your friend, sophomore Bergen, switches from a pre-med course at Northwestern and enters the School of Speech.
Yeah, I remember that very well, Ralph. I thought Bergen was going to open a fruit stand. He kept talking about those pear-shaped tones.
I think I had something to do with those pear-shaped tones of yours, Charlie McCarthy.
The joint's haunted.
No, no, Charlie. That's another voice from out of your past. Can you guess who it is?
Well, what do you think I am, a Dunninger?
My name, Charlie, is Dale Kennedy. Oh, don't you remember? Okay. I was supervisor of speech education at Northwestern University.
Miss Kennedy? Oh, one of our speech instructors, Bergen.
That's right. Yes, here she is, coming through the Philip Morris archway right now. Belle Kennedy.
Hello, Belle.
Hello, Edgar.
Oh, Miss Kennedy.
And hello, Charlie. Well, are those pear-shaped tones nice and ripe?
Yeah, well, mine are, Miss Kennedy, but I think Bergen's have sort of gone to seed.
Miss Kennedy, you helped Charlie McCarthy's voice, eh?
Well, Mr. Edwards, Edgar Bergen was a pupil of mine. And in helping Edgar Bergen develop his voice, I think I may have helped Charlie McCarthy.
Yeah, of course. There's also Mortimer Snerd, if you'll pardon the expression.
I had nothing to do with Mortimer Snerd.
I know exactly how you feel. Of course, his tones are a little overripe. In fact, I think they're kind of on the rotten. Please.
Well, the Northwestern University School of Speech was so proud of Charlie McCarthy that on August 1938, he was given an honorary degree at a ceremony at the college.
Yes, the honorary degree of Master of Innuendo and Snappy Comebacks. Here's the degree awarded to Charlie by the Dean of the School of Speech back there in 1938. It reads, Mr. McCarthy has been a student in absentia for many years, following a similarly distinguished career in the grade and high schools during his youth.
He is possessed of a capacity for research surpassed only by his ability to speak for himself.
Right.
He is known for his wit and wisdom, not to mention his willingness to borrow all his ideas from the person nearest him.
Uh-huh.
A prince of parasites, violent in company, churlish in behavior, acid in conversation, wooden-faced in all relationships, and in all other aspects, a typical product of higher learning in America. Famed for his investigation into the value of timber in voice production and nationally known contributor to a field of entertainment which deserves the fate he has brought upon it. By the Dean, School of Speech, Northwestern University.
Isn't that beautiful?
You received that degree in 1938 when you're 12 years old, Charlie.
Yes.
2 years later, Edgar Bergen himself receives an honorary degree.
Yeah, they lowered the requirements.
Well, anyway, Charlie McCarthy is so proud of his connection with Northwestern University that Edgar Bergen has given considerable assistance to a scholarship fund at the School of Speech and has thus helped many of its students, as he has unselfishly and without fanfare helped so many people in so many ways throughout the country.
Now, you're so right, Miss Kennedy. In a sincere and unsung way, Charlie McCarthy and his good friend, Edgar Bergen, not only help students of speech, but nurses in their training, and has made it possible for hopeful young flyers to receive instrument training by financing their studies. Hundreds of young men and women in America tonight are silently thanking you, Charlie McCarthy and Edgar Bergen, for this help. And thank you, Belle Kennedy, for coming here tonight and taking your place in the life of Charlie McCarthy. Thank you. It's 1926, Charlie McCarthy. You're 12 years old, and you and Edgar Bergen enter vaudeville.
Yeah, and you say I was born in 1919.
Yes.
I never knew anyone who became 12 years old so fast and stayed there so long.
Vaudeville, Ralph. That's where I spent my best years.
I wondered what happened to them.
I met Charlie and Edgar when the three of us were on the same vaudeville bill back in 1926.
Uh-oh. You don't have to tell me who that is, Ralph. That's my old pal, Ken Murray.
Yes, Ken Murray. Yes, it's Ken Murray, star of Ken Murray's television show, talking to you from New York. Ken Murray, the star and producer of Blackouts, the show that had one of the longest runs in theatrical history.
Hello, Ken.
Hello, Edgar. I'm sorry I can't be out there in person, but my Budweiser television show keeps me hopping.
Hopping? Who are you, Kukla, Ken, and Froggy?
Quiet. Now, boys.
Well, I'll tell it. Now, please.
No. Take it easy, McCarthy. When I first met you in vaudeville, you were the number three act on the bill, and I was number two. Charlie and Edgar did an operation scene act in which an actress played the part of a nurse.
Yeah. We just had one beautiful nurse after another.
As I remember, you were the one after the beautiful nurse.
Oh. Bergen, you should have kept my big mouth shut.
As the years go by, Charlie, Ken Murray becomes an intimate friend of yours. And in 1936, when you're playing a very important hotel date in New York, he's responsible for Edgar Bergen's getting a salary raise for the act.
Oh, yeah.
How was that, Ken?
Well, Edgar was getting $500 a week for Charlie.
That's a lot of jelly beans, isn't it, Bergen?
I never told
Charlie. I know. I understand.
And I thought he should get more, so I kind of needled Edgar. I said to him, look, I don't want to fool around with small-timers. Don't
right.
hang around me unless you're a big shot, unless you're getting $750 for the act.
Yeah.
Well, that made Edgar kind of sore, see? So he went out and asked $750 for Charlie, and the funny part is he got it.
He did? Why, you double-crosser, Bergen. You never told me that.
Thank you, Ken Murray. Here in college, your good friend Edgar Bergen gets an idea for his famous operation act that Ken Murray was telling us about.
Yeah.
By the way, how did you get that idea for that vaudeville act that took you through so many years of vaudeville?
Well, I was still attending college, and I was just about to be wheeled into the operating room for a coming-out party for my appendix when I heard two nurses discussing a case. One nurse said to the other, is her condition serious? And the second nurse said, no, she isn't dead yet. And while I was about to go under the ether, I started thinking about this act with Charlie on the table.
I see.
You know, Bergen, it would have been better if the act had been kept under ether.
No.
As Ken Murray said, there were a number of actresses, Charlie, who played the part of the nurse in your operation act.
Yes, and I was one of them. I started playing the nurse in 1932.
Do you know who that is, Charlie?
Is it Loretta White?
No.
Is it Christina Grayler?
This is 1932, Charlie.
Oh, Velma Lee.
That's right. But now she's married to Johnny Dawson, the famous golfer. And coming through the Philip Morris Archway is Velma Wayne Dawson. Here she is.
Hello, Charlie. How are you, Edgar?
Oh, hello, Velma.
Velma, my love. You look divine.
Oh, well, thank you, Charlie.
Yes, Mrs. Dawson, who just recently built the howdy-doody puppets that you see on television. Isn't that right,
That's
Velma?
Right.
That's wonderful. But as Velma Wayne, you are the nurse in the act back here in 1932.
Yes, Ralph. I joined the act in Chicago, and right away, Charlie became my friend.
I was no fool.
No, this is really true. If I did something wrong in the act that Edgar didn't like, why, he'd bawl me out, and Charlie would always stick up for me.
Velma, I was always putty in your hands, isn't I?
And I've always been grateful for your friendship, Charlie. It's been swell seeing you again.
Okay, kiddo. I'll see you at the party after the show.
Thank you, Velma Dawson, for stepping into Charlie's life here again in 1932.
Thank you.
Thank you, Velma. Thank you.
Charlie, little do you dream that a few years later your name would become part of the American language, a name quoted on the floor of the United States Senate, that you would share regularly the microphone with such celebrities as Dorothy L'Amour, Maureen O'Sullivan, Don Ameche, Nelson Eddy, Ray Noble, and one more good friend, a man who once heard could never be forgotten.
Yes, those are the good old days, aren't they, Bill?
Yeah, remember the time I said I'd slice you into a Venetian blind?
Yeah.
That was a good one, I think. I told her, wasn't it?
Oh, Mr. W.C. Fields, oh, he was a great man.
Yes, indeed. You really loved Bill Fields, Charlie, even though you and he had frequent conversations like this one.
I've been a fragile thing of beauty ever since I was born.
Yeah.
Why, you weren't born. You were squeezed out of a bar rag.
But that was all in fun, Charlie.
Yes, Mr. Edwards. I was very fond of Mr. Fields.
Yes, W.C. Fields was very fond of you too, Charlie.
He was, really?
Yes. Once after a broadcast, he said to me he really liked Charlie because Charlie called him Mr. Fields, and that showed good breeding.
Well, I'm glad Mr. Fields liked me. You know, he was the softest hard-boiled egg I ever knew.
Well, Charlie, I hate to interrupt the story at this point, but it begins to look as if our time is up for this week. How would you like to come back to our This Is Your Life program next Wednesday night and sit in this very same chair of surprises so we can continue your story and hear the people in person who shared the thrills and helped you on your road to stardom?
Do you want Bergen, too?
Oh, by all means. Will you, Edgar?
Why, we would be delighted, Ralph.
Wonderful. Until next Wednesday, then.
By golly, I still want that banana split, you know.
Charlie, I'll get you one myself.
Yeah, it's
next Wednesday, huh?
Next Wednesday, all right.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Until next Wednesday, at the same time when our principal subject again will be Charlie McCarthy.
With his straight man, Edgar Bergen.
Yes, straight man.
Friends, try the famous Philip Morris nose test yourself, and you'll see why there's no cigarette hangover when you smoke Philip Morris. Be sure to listen next Wednesday, same time, same station, when Philip Morris again will present Ralph Edwards with This Is Your Life. Until then, and remember, each week on another network, two other great Philip Morris shows, Crime Photographer and The Horace Height Show. Consult your local papers for day, time, and station.
Tonight's This Is Your Life, with original music by Alexander Laszlo, was produced and transcribed in Hollywood. This is Art Ballinger saying goodnight for Philip Morris.